here's a question. Is there a gender gap that Detroit 3 car makers have when it comes to selling to women? Data from R.L. Polk finds that no domestic brand made the top 10 list with the highest percentage of female buyers. So we got to wondering, why does it appear many women prefer foreign automakers over domestics? And how are the Detroit 3 winning over the hearts and the checkbooks of women? We're joined now by Michelle Krebs, who's an auto analyst with Edmunds.com. Welcome back to Stateside, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
And we're joined by a woman who has been selling cars since the 1980s. Today, she's the general manager of Gordon Chevrolet in Garden City. And it's a pleasure to welcome Susan Ianni to the studio.
And I am so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I want to start with your sense, Michelle, based on the R.L. Polk statistics. How much of a gender gap do you think really exists between women car buyers and the Detroit 3?
Well, first of all, it's a little hard to know because sometimes the registration data, cars are registered in a man's name in a household. So you have to be a little careful with that. I think there is a gender gap, and I think some of it has to do with perception. A lot of women want to buy what they perceive to be the highest quality, reliable, dependable car they can. And for a long time, the thought was that was a Japanese car. Also, Detroit did not have a lot of cars in those segments that they compete in. You know, they didn't have something that competed against a Toyota Camry or whatever. But that's all shifted.
That is all shifted. And so much of that came from the bailout that was such a big shakeout that it has, or not.
Well, I think even before that, Detroit was very aware that they needed to get in the small car market and do better in the midsize market. Those are two of the biggest segments in the country. And so they've started putting a lot of resources into that and product development. And I think they've done a really good job.
So, Susan, from what you see in the showroom and really tracking the course of your career selling cars, do you support that idea there's a gender gap?
You know, not in what I see. Mm-hmm. Not in the Chevy dealership, not in Detroit. We see, you know, a lot of women making the decisions more than the registration reports show. You know, I think they show 39%. I've always said it's probably 85% make the decision. But you're right. It's registered in the husband's name for whatever reason. And women love the domestic cars. Now, I think in other parts of the country is where the problem really lies, not in Detroit. And I also agree with Michelle that it's perception. Because if you take, for instance, the Malibu, and you put it, you know, side by side, do a comparison to a Camry, the vehicles that it would compete against, hands down, and this isn't a commercial, but hands down, it is a safer car. It has OnStar. It has more airbags. It's nicer. It's styled better. The women love it. But I think what happens in other parts of the country is they're not looking at a domestic car. They're not even putting that on their shopping list. They're going right from the car they're driving, which is probably a foreign car, right back to a foreign car dealership, and they're not giving it a chance. And that's the problem. The other thing I've always said, which I think I told you this yesterday, Cindy, is it's also the dealership experience. Big, big part of, you know, getting women back into the dealerships is to make the experience much more pleasant. I mean, it used to be years ago, you know, when you had the negotiation process, foreign cars they didn't negotiate on.
And it was
they paid sticker, but they were happy to. They didn't have to go through the negotiation process.
Yeah.
People, price is not as important as people think. It's the experience. Mm-hmm. They want to go in. They want to know they paid the same price as the guy that lives right next door to them. They want good service. They want to know that they can go back and get the vehicle serviced and feel comfortable. So it's really the dealership experience, I think, is more important.
Let's talk about getting the women into the showroom for that experience. Would a separate marketing style for women work? Or does that help or hurt? You're kind of making a case.
I personally don't like that because I really don't think when it comes down to it that men and women are that different in what they want in cars. I mean, there may be men who, you know, men have the reputation of being impulsive and wanting performance cars and sports cars. There are women that do too.
So you're talking to one of them.
think that's it. And I don't like the separate marketing campaign. They want a great experience no matter. Yeah. I think there have been studies that show men and women alike like women salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't many of those.
They like women salespeople because women, you know, fit them with the right vehicle. They're more concerned about needs. What does their customer need? They listen better. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to have men mad at me. But, you know, that's the perception mm-hmm. that the customer has. Yeah. And, you know, you're right. You know, when men or women come into the dealership, they don't want to play a game of negotiation. They want, in a real short period of time, to select a vehicle. They want a price. They want a payment. They want to know what their trade's worth. Just give me the information. Let me make a decision. And don't take 2 hours giving me the information.
That's a huge key.
And if every dealership would just grasp and embrace that philosophy, would be better.
Is that something that the foreign car makers have been doing better in the dealerships, you think?
Well, the reason they did it better is because they didn't have incentives and they didn't have all the different things that you have to put into the car buying, you know, puzzle. Mm-hmm. So when you went into a foreign car dealership years ago, you know, there was no employee discount. There was no loyalty. There wasn't rebates.
They took orders, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
but that's not the game anymore.
And it was, here's the price, and that was it. When you go into domestic car dealerships, you had all these other variables you had to put together, and then you negotiate the price. But now in domestic car dealerships, you know, the price is been brought down. The MSRP and the cost that the dealer pays for the car, there is no room for negotiation anymore. It's gone. So it's a much more comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. You can come in, you can get the price, you can get a payment. It's easier, you know, and it is what people want. But the people that haven't been in a domestic car dealership for years
don't know it.
We need to somehow get that message out and get them back
in. And what's
in.
That
I
somehow.
Would say, well, yeah. I would say two things. The time is huge. Mm-hmm. People, the process takes way too long, and that's one of the biggest complaints we hear. There's also some thinking of, why do I have to come into the dealership at all? And we're seeing, you know, Lincoln is talking about doing more of a concierge service, sell the car, pick it up for service. So I think those are things, especially in the luxury car realm, that need to happen, and not just for women.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we're talking about what it takes for the Detroit Three carmakers to really market to women and get more women into the showrooms. We're talking with Michelle Krebs, who's an auto analyst with Edmunds.com, and Susan Ianni, who is the general manager of Gordon Chevrolet in Garden City and has been selling cars since the 80s. So you've really seen the ins and the outs and the ups and downs. Is there a difference between baby boomers and the next generation?
Well, I think we've yet to see that big onslaught of young car buyers. They've been held back by unemployment, big college debt. We're waiting for that to come into the market. And I don't think we know what they want yet. We're seeing a lot of them don't even want to own a car. I mean, what we're seeing are things like Zipcar, where car sharing or living in urban areas where they have mass transportation.
We were actually just talking to Mickey Maynard about that on Stateside, about the fact that there are people saying, you know what, I'm going to live downtown. I don't need a car.
Now, that may change, though. Yeah. They're late in forming households. They're late in, you know, getting married and having children. So that may change with phase of life.
Yeah, we'll see how that Zipcar works when you have to get to the soccer game and dance lessons.
It's funny because, you know, with my two youngest at home, I have a 12-year-old and I have a 20-year-old. And the 20-year-old, you know, they're looking a lot at electric cars. They're looking at, you know, the cool little gadgets, the smaller cars, the funny colors. You know, they like the bright colors, the greens and the pinks. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what they
grow
up into.
And they're not a monolith. I mean, just like baby boomers, the three of us have different tastes, I'm sure, in cars. They are not a monolith. They have a variety of tastes, and nobody's got that all figured out yet.
Yeah. And now, Michelle, you had a real interesting idea that you were sharing with us about some way of letting buyers know how much the car companies that they're considering support women. Talk a little more about
that. Well, you know, there's been a lot of focus, especially with the younger generation, of buying products from companies that share their values, that they invest in environmental causes or whatever. But what I have not seen is, and I notice it being in the industry, which car companies have women in management? Well, I'm sorry, but they aren't the Korean and Japanese or even the European. And I don't think women know. And yet women buy those vehicles in large numbers. Mm. Here we've got General Motors that all the top positions, a number of the top positions are held by women. I think we may well see a woman CEO in charge of General Motors at some date. Ford's been very good about that. But I don't think they get credit for that, and I don't think that's anything they promote. And
They don't publicize it enough. You're
and
right.
I have wondered if that would play with the minds of women.
Well, women support women. That would probably be a good, you know, a good thing for the big three to think about, letting people know how much they support women.
Fun talking with both of you. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com and Susan Ianni of Gordon Chevrolet in Garden City.